Good morning, everyone. Today's scripture reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. People do not light a lamp and put it under the bushel basket. Rather, they put it on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of God. Praise be to God.
I invite you to pray with me. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the gift of music. Thank you for our children. Thank you for forgiveness of sins this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence and to worship you. We also thank you for your word, God. May your word speak to each and every one of us this morning. May your spirit open our hearts and our minds to receive your message. And may we be changed by your word, by your love, by your grace that is so plentiful in our lives. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Let me see, how many of you watched the opening ceremony of the Olympic Games in Milan this past Friday? Hey, okay, so I was thinking maybe none of you, and then I didn't know what to say next, you know, so at least there's some of you, so I'm grateful for that. But in any case, so the torch is lit, and the cauldron is roaring, and we're officially off to the races, right? Right now there are millions of people across the globe watching athletes, you know, they're glued to their screens and they're watching athletes pushing the limits of what's physically possible. And whether it's the thunderous speed of the bobsled tracks or the razor sharp precision of the ice rinks, I mean, from the opening ceremony to that final breathless gold medal finish, we kind of like hooked. We love watching this. But let's be honest, it's not just about the physics of a triple axel or a downhill sprint. It's also about the spirit, right? The spirit of the games. And every single athlete out there is carrying more than just gear. They're carrying the weight of a flag, the heart of a culture, and the soul of their values. And every time an anthem plays and a winner stands on that podium, they're sending a message to the rest of the world. This is who we are. And if you want to talk about symbolism, I mean, nothing captures the power of the Olympic Games quite like that flame, the Olympic flame. And it's kind of like the moment we all wait for, right, during the opening ceremony. All eyes are on that final torchbearer waiting for the spark that ignites the games. It's a moment heavy with history and pride. I mean, who could ever forget the sight of Muhammad Ali in 1996, his hands trembling with Parkinson's, but his spirit like rock solid. And lighting that torch in Atlanta. But think about the journey. Just think about the journey for a moment that flame took before it reached San Siro Stadium. It started all the way back last year on November 26th in Olympia in Greece, following a tradition thousands of years old. They used a parabolic mirror to catch the actual rays of the sun to light the torch. And from there it traveled to Athens, and then it touched down in Rome on December the 5th. And from Rome it embarked on an epic tour, 20 regions of Italy, 110 provinces, even the islands of Sicily and Sardinia, and more than 10,000 different hands held that torch. Think about that. The light that started in Olympia was lit for the long run. Sorry, I just pushed the wrong button so the camera went. So that singular flame passed from person to person. And it just means that some lights are meant to be shared. And once you light them, they aren't just meant to flicker, right? They're meant to burn. Burn for the long run. And so Jesus also speaks about representation. And in Matthew 5 that we just read, it's part of the Sermon on the Mount, it looks at a group of ordinary disciples and he says something extraordinary. He says to them, "You are the light of the world." It doesn't say try to be light. It doesn't say if you work hard enough, you might become light. Jesus just says, "You are the light. You're already light. Just by following me, you are light. And because of that, you have a responsibility." And then he says, "A city that is built on a hill cannot be hidden. And people don't hide a light under a bowl. They put it on a lampstand so the light shines for all the people in the house. In the same way, you should be a light for other people. Live so that they will see the good things you do and will praise your Father in heaven." In other words, your light has a purpose, okay? It is that shine, to be visible, to make a difference. But here's the challenge. I mean, light doesn't always feel bright, does it? Faith can flicker. Conviction can wane. We get tired. We get disillusioned. We get distracted. We forget that the world is watching and we stop shining. And so Jesus encourages us and he warns us and he says, don't fade. Don't hide. Don't forget who you are. Stay lit. Stay lit for the long run. Because he says, you are the light that gives light to the world. So be a light for other people. And it's worthy to note that Jesus is not speaking to scholars. He's not speaking to celebrities. He's speaking to fishermen and tax collectors and mothers and workers. In other words, he's speaking to everyday people like you and like me. And he says, you are the light of the world. And so listen, light isn't just what we do. It's who we are when we belong to Christ. Light is our identity. The sun doesn't try to shine. It just does. And in the same way, we radiate God's truth and love when we stay connected to the source. And in John chapter 8, Jesus also talks about light, and he says, this time, I am the light for the world. Follow me, and you won't be walking in the dark. You will have the light that gives life. So he refers to himself as the light of the world. He calls his disciples the light of the world. So as people who belong to Jesus, and as children of God, it's in our DNA to be light and to shed light wherever we are, because light is our identity. It's who we are. But let me use the Olympics to illustrate a different point also. For athletes, there is nothing bigger than the Olympic Games. And they train for years to represent something beyond themselves. They represent a flag. They represent a nation. And Jesus is saying to you and me, we too are representing something bigger. We are representing God's kingdom. So remember that your character and your kindness and your convictions aren't private things. They shine. All right, so your light also has influence. In Jesus' day, cities like Jerusalem and Hebron and Samaria stood proudly on the hills. They were visible for miles around. Travelers could look up and see the lights of these cities and know, well, they were nearing safety. They were nearing community and a promise of rest. And a city on a hill was not trying to be seen. It just was. Because its elevation made it unavoidably visible. So you couldn't help but see the city on the hill. And Jesus says, a city built on top of a hill cannot be hidden. So first, we cannot hide our light. If we hide it, well, it becomes useless. Second, our light is not primarily for show. The purpose of our light is to influence. It is to guide. It is to lead. And when Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, speaks to the people on the hillside above the Sea of Galilee, he believes that they could be the first of what we call today influencers. And so he's saying to you and me, you are called and you belong to me to influence and to be influencers. Because you see, the way we treat others and how we speak and how we spend and how we forgive and how we care, all these things become like lights on the hillside. They're guiding others toward hope, toward love, and ultimately toward God. We may not even realize who's watching or how far our light reaches, but when we live out our faith, it becomes a beacon, just as those ancient cities were beacons to weary travelers. So first, light is our identity. It is who we are. And second, our light has influence. We don't need to be famous to shine. We just need to be faithful. And finally, I mean, light also has a purpose. There's a practical purpose to being light. And Jesus explains that we are the light of the world. Not to impress, right? But to direct. And he says, let your light shine before others. For what purpose? So that they may see your good works and give glory to yourself? No. Give glory to your Father in heaven. So we shine not to spotlight ourselves, but to highlight God. That's the purpose of our light. I mean, the goal of a lighthouse isn't to say, look at me, right? It is to say, look at the safe way home. And in the same way, Jesus calls us to live in such a way that our lives point beyond us. It points to the source of all light. That's our purpose. The light reveals. It shows what is real. It makes what's hidden visible. And our lives should really reveal God's heart. And you know what? God's heart is a heart of compassion. It is a heart of mercy. It is a heart of truth. And we all like little lanterns showing others the character of a loving God. Of course, the challenge for all of us is to stay lit for the long run. So how can we keep our own candles lit when everything going on in the world and in our personal lives seems to blow them out? How do we keep shining, especially when the world feels so dark? How do we find meaning in the work we do? They did some research on medalists at the Olympic Games. And so which medalists do you think are the happiest? The gold, the silver, or the bronze?
The bronze.
The bronze.
Gold.
The gold. What about those poor silver medalists? Robert, you're correct. The bronze medalists. You know why? Because they compared themselves for the rest of their lives to the losers who didn't medal, right? The silver medalists compared themselves for the rest of their lives to the gold medalists. And they're the unhappiest by far of the three. As for the gold medalists, a majority of Olympic gold medalists suffer from clinical depression in the 3 months after winning the gold medal because it just doesn't satisfy. So here's the secret. I mean, light doesn't try harder. As the light of the world, we don't compare ourselves to winners or losers. We keep our candles lit by staying connected to the power source. And so as you watch, you know, the Olympics over the next 2 weeks, you will get to know some of the athletes up close and personal. And you'll discover that they train relentlessly. They don't just show up and perform. They endure setbacks, injuries, fatigue, and they just keep going. And the successful ones don't compare themselves to others. And so for us to stay lit for the long run means we need to remain rooted in Christ. We have to be consistent in our faith, and we have to be faithful in our witness, even when it's hard. And there will be days when you might feel like a flickering candle, like a silver medalist standing between the winner and the loser. But a flickering candle still
is
light. And in darkness, even a flicker can change everything. So you are the light of the world, not by accident, not by effort, but by calling. It's because you belong to Christ. And you know what? The world needs your light. Not your perfection, okay? But your presence. The world needs your grace. The world needs your truth. The world needs your endurance. So shine. Shine in the hospital room, shine in the classroom, shine in the break room, shine in the family gathering, shine in the voting booth, Shine in your grief, shine in your hope, because God lit a flame in you and the world is watching. So let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify not you, but your Father in heaven. And let your light burn like that Olympic flame, bold and visible, unwavering and lit for the long run. Amen. Let us pray. Jesus, first of all, thank you that you are the light of the world, that those who follow you will not stumble around in darkness, but have the light of life, and that's what we all need. And God, we do live in a world that seems dark, and we face our own darkness, with the challenges that come our way, but we pray that through your grace and through your Spirit, the flame that you lit inside of us will keep shining. And that light will be a light for others to see. May they look at us and who we are and what we do. And may it somehow point them towards your love and your goodness, so that you will be glorified. Enable us, Lord, to be lit for the long run, to let our light shine. We pray this with gratitude in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.